Intervju Radija Študent.
V današnjem RŠ intervjuju bomo prisluhnili posnetku pogovora v spevko skupine Milk Belly, ki bo jutri nastopila v Gala Hali v sklopu festivala Hrupni dnevi, ki se prične že danes s koncertom EŠKM bande in hrvaške zasedbe Tus Noa. V telefonskem intervjuju nam je Miranda Winters zaupala koncept, ki stoji za surovo glasbo Milk Belly, povedala nekaj o procesu ustvarjanja njihovega najnovejšega dolgometražca Notting Valley ter spregovorila o stanju čikaške glasbene scene v letu 2018. Še pred samim intervjujem pa si bomo privoščili njihov šumasto spevni komad Kid Creative.
Okay, Miranda, very nice speaking to you. I guess I'm just gonna start with a simple one. You're currently touring for Europe, right? Is that your first European tour you guys are doing?
Yes, it is.
Yeah?
So
how would you say that the tour is going so far?
It's going excellently. It's really, I think even more fun than we were expecting. It's a lot, it feels a lot different than in the U.S. because there's more of like a community kind of like feeling that you get here.
Really? How so?
Yeah. It just seems like promoters seem really passionate about what they're doing, and the people that come to see the show are really excited about music and just very like friendly. And then sometimes in America you don't get that as much, it seems, at least in my opinion. Of course,
So you would say, like, because I heard from a friend that the Chicago crowds can be extra wild. So I'm just kind of guessing, how would you compare them to us in Europe? Like, are we more wild? Like, well, what's the deal here?
Man, I don't know. I think it's sort of, like, is that something that's depending, like, city to city? I would say like the show in Paris was crazy. Yeah, it was wild. For okay. sure.
Okay. Okay. You wouldn't know, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on the city, right? It depends, like,
yeah.
the vibe of the whole thing, right? I mean, this is probably a new experience for you guys as well, right? The European.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I also read that you guys consider yourself more of a noise band rather than a noise band. So I guess my question is, how was the concept of aggressive noisy textures even introduced to the sound of Melville? Like, was this something you guys had it before? Like, did you think about, like, just make it noisy, or how did this, like, texture evolve?
I think it evolved just by when we first started playing. We all come from different backgrounds. So we all listen to different types of bands. And so naturally getting together in a room and thinking, like, you know, we want to write a song together, and we know that, like, you know, James likes a strange kind of noise rock, and Bart and I were coming from more of like a folk band. It just became like the song, in order to make everybody, I think, feel like comfortable, became just a mash of those sounds. And then writing more songs and practicing over time, it sort of found its own type of like groove, its own type of sound, I guess. Yeah.
So I guess this evolved then. You didn't really know where you're gonna start, right? You just started.
Yeah, exactly. We knew, like, when we first started, we knew that we wanted to play loud music, and we knew that we liked having lots of different textures and sounds and elements, because that's what we think is interesting when we listen to music, you know. So
yeah, because I also read that you guys have like different influences. Like you said, you're more into folk. You're some other members are more into noisier stuff and more aggressive stuff.
Right? Yeah.
So I guess.
Yeah.
You know, because the thing is, when I listen to your albums or album and EP, what I notice is that you guys have like this really catchy melodies that you incorporate in the whole thing. You know,
yeah.
So I guess, does this come from your folk background or from your folk influences? Where does this melody part come from?
Yeah, I'd say that's definitely. I love folk. I mean, I like loud stuff and noisy rock too, but I do really like folk, and I like pop music. And and I think it's exciting to combine like an accessible melody with maybe some textures that aren't as accessible.
Yeah, it's an interesting mixture, right?
Yeah, and I think that that's a way that you can like invite someone into listening to a song that maybe they wouldn't otherwise, if they didn't have that thing that they could latch on to.
So I guess in a way, with melodic, let's say, parts of your songs and stuff like that, what you're saying is that you can get far more listeners than you would get, let's say, with a more aggressive or just noisier type of music.
More listeners, but then also, you know, you're providing those people with an opportunity to hear something new, and maybe that kind of expands their scope, and they think, oh, well, I was able to listen to this, maybe I can listen to weirder stuff.
Okay, good point. Yeah.
Expand our worldview.
All right. Well, listening to your LP, the Nothing Valley LP, and then comparing it a bit to your previous Pennsylvania EP, I can't help but notice that there's a more edgier and more sound, the more edgier and more raw sound that was present in the EP is still present in the LP. And I guess I'm wondering, was this something that you paid extra attention to when you were recording, when you were making this album, you know, to preserve the raw edginess of it?
Yeah, for sure. So like that first EP that we made, Pennsylvania, we did all of it in like 3 or 4 days. Mm-hmm. And then this second record, it took us more like 3 months, 3 or 4 months.
Uh-huh, all right.
And I think, like, we decided after we listened to Pennsylvania, like, there's a few roads we can take, because there's different, like, types of songs. And I think we took what excited us the most about the first one and then decided to explore that on the second record, or on Nothing Valley. And what excited us was that, like, edginess. So.
So can you tell me a bit about what was the recording process like for the Nothing Valley? You said it took 3 months. It's quite a long time, right? Like, for recording.
Yeah, too long in my opinion. Well, no, not too long, but it was a long time. Our process was
so
we worked
long?
With
just, the just the just because of the planning, or what was the reason that it took so long?
Well, I don't know. I think it's an idea that we had. I think because the first recording was so fast, when we stepped back from it, we said something we want to do the next time is to take a really long time so that we can consider, like, every little thing, like tones and texture and song placement and all that. So, and also we wrote maybe like 80% of the songs, like, in the studio.
So it was more of a creative thing,
yeah,
rather than just the recording probabilities.
Yeah. So it's not like we were going in there and saying, like, okay, today we're recording this song. We would go in for like a week and say, let's write this song.
So was this in a professional studio or more like a DIY type of situation?
Well, it's our friend Dave Vitrano. He records bands in Chicago. He's amazing, and we recorded it in his basement. So DIY.
Yeah, so, but this also gave you an opportunity to, you know, really take your time with the recording process, right? Because you have, like, you know, it was more open than, you know, a normal studio would be, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And also just, like, the way that it felt in there, it was very comfortable and, like, homey. And, you know, he's such a good friend that...
I guess you need those type of things when you're recording something creative, right? So, you know, you need a very laid-back atmosphere, I guess.
Yeah. Important.
I also notice that there's a special style when it comes to your videos. Like, apart from Kid Creative, they seem to linger, like, in more of a lo-fi animation aesthetic. So I'm just wondering, how does this idea come to life? Like, who brings the idea? Like, do you talk to the director before? Can you tell me a bit about this?
Yeah, so for the three videos that we made most recently, the videos for Nothing Valley, we decided to, like, divide and conquer. So each member of the band was responsible for a different video. And then Bart and Liam, they worked on Kid Creative together. So, Liam does work in, like, some DIY film stuff. And then a friend of his directed Kid Creative, which is why I think it has that really, like, that look that's, like, so specific and different from the two videos that James and I did. I don't know. I think that we just, because we started DIY, we have this, like, preferred, like, visual aesthetic, and that, like messiness in the animation is something that we've always really, like,
reminiscent of your music, then, in a way. You know, it's a bit messy, it's something older than just, you know, your normal video, I guess.
It's kind of wanted to be a little unhinged, or looking like it's, like, falling apart a little bit.
So there's, you would say that there's a collaborative spirit in the Chicago art scene.
Like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. It's incredible.
So you do a lot.
Definitely.
You do a lot of these collaborations with other artists. Then, I mean, I'm just wondering, you know, how's the art scene there? How's the music scene there?
Yeah. Both, like, the visual art scene and the music scene there are really cool. And very, like, the community is, I don't know, I guess that's, like, that's what I think is so special about Chicago, is that community is so close-knit, and they're always really excited about new stuff and wanting to make work, and, like, that kind of community and collaboration is what I've really felt on this tour in Europe. Yeah, and I think, like, those collaborations and that kind of stuff, it's you know, it's kind of a rare thing in cities, in big cities, and it definitely has helped us, like, become the band that we are.
Mm-hmm. Are you saying that, you know, the music scene in Chicago is now stronger than ever? Because, like, in the late 90s, it was one of the biggest scenes in America, if I'm, you know, correct. So you would say that still this spirit of collaboration, spirit of music is still very much present, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely, like, it ebbs and flows. And I think, like, maybe, like, in the 90s, those, like, really awesome bands that were coming from Chicago were, like, very commercially successful. Mm-hmm. But, like, the stuff that's not commercially successful now, it's, like, really experimental and, you know, like, homegrown. It's great in Chicago. Yeah, it's fabulous. And there's always, like, there's always a new band. There's always a new space.
So what are some new bands that we should definitely check out that are from Chicago?
Oh, man. Okay, well, does it have to be a new band? Let's see. Well, let me think of some friends. I guess we love Meat Wave, but they've been here before. Yeah. So you probably, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, La 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 La. They're a band that we like a lot.
All right.
Who else do we love? Richard Album is one we really love. There's a band called Pussyfoot.
Okay.
And let's see, who else? I feel like I could keep listing. I guess Oozing Wound is always awesome. Ooh, I know. Tim.
Who? How do you say that? Tim.
Dim? Okay. Yeah, like dim, like you're you're dimming the light.
Yeah.
They're so great. Oh, man.
So these are the acts that we should watch out for now, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, those are pretty, yeah, those are hip and happening bands.
All right, great. Thanks for the recommendations. And again, thanks for all your answers on the questions. I guess this is it. We'll see you tomorrow at Galahala, right? You're performing it at the Hypnivacheri. So I guess, you know, have a great rest of the tour and see you there.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks so much for talking to me.
Thanks. Cheers, Miranda.
All right. Yeah, we'll see you. Bye.
V tokratnem terminu za RŠ Intervju smo se pogovarjali s pevko zasedbe Milk Belly Mirando Winters. Še enkrat lepo vabljeni k obisku koncerta omenjene zasedbe na jutrišnjem dogodku Hrupnih dni v Gala Hali. RŠ Intervju je pripravil Andi Koglot. Intervju Radija Študent.